Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Please take a seat. It's wonderful to be with you this morning. If I've met you before, my name's Craig Palmer, privileged to be part of the team here. And we've been going through a series in the book of Acts, and I'm bringing us to the end of this series in this chunk, the third sort of series that we've done on Acts over these last few years. And week on week, we've seen the disciples planting seeds in the life of people, seeing how they can follow the steps of the Spirit, leading them into places and people, networks, where the gospel was going to take root in people's lives. And we're going to have young lady Min come and share a Bible reading with us shortly, but before I go into the Bible reading, just quickly, there's this sense of, come on in, Min, and the setting is that Paul and Barnabas have been speaking to the local people in a synagogue in a town called Pisidian Antioch. And he's basically given this salvation plan, the salvation plan that's around kind of the whole choosing of Israel initially, taking them through the captivity, the exodus out of that, ultimately to bring them some kings, Saul and David, which created the line that from Jesus would come, this promise of a Messiah. And when this Messiah came, they spoke to them about his death and his resurrection and ultimately how this promise was fulfilled in him. And they're kind of presenting this message as like, you guys don't want to miss out on this. You know, this is where forgiveness comes from. This is where you'll be set free, full freedom in life. And so Min is one of our young adults here, one of our AMP youth leaders as well, and she's going to read to us from Acts. And thank you, Min, for leading us in that. If you would like to look to the screen, you're very welcome, or follow in your own Bible, that would be magnificent. Thank you.
I'll be reading from Acts 13, verses 42 to 52 from the NIV version. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowd, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of God. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread throughout the whole region, but the Jewish leaders incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went into the Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit.
Thanks so much, Min. Appreciate that. So this account in Acts and many before it often mirror what is written in the Gospel of Luke. Luke, the writer of both of those books, and one of the particular areas where it mirrors, and you might have heard it in that reading, if you're familiar with Luke 10, and we've spoken about this in previous weeks around the idea of a people of peace. Luke 10, kind of, he paints this picture of kind of Jesus training the disciples, and he's speaking to them about when you go into a village, when you want to minister there, they go two by two, go to a house and say, "Peace to this house." And it's basically, "I come in peace." And if people will come back and say, "Yeah, love it, come and talk to us," then stay with them, eat their food, drink the drink that they offer you, you know, don't bring your own stuff, kind of receive their hospitality. And then, but if maybe the word, you say peace to the house and they're not that keen, No harm, no foul. Let's walk away. Let's move somewhere else. But preach the kingdom, heal the sick, and if this is going well, stay with them. Build into their life. But if not, shake the dust off your feet and move to the next town. We see this same image here that Paul and Barnabas are putting into play. So just as we have on the screen there, when you think about that in your own life, and this is kind of the model that kind of Jesus was teaching and these disciples are trying to put into place, is when you offer peace, you'll find that there are people that welcome you, that listen to you, that people that serve or support you, they might introduce you to their own networks. So as we look at about the responses to the message that's been shared by the disciples in this passage today, I want you to think about this own question for yourself. Which people or group of people in this story do you most resonate with? Because I don't want to kind of assume upon you as you listen here today. You might have been here for many years, or maybe this is your first time here with us today. That maybe your response might actually line up in a way you maybe didn't expect as you read what we've got here today. So have a think. Are you a person who is still considering the message of Jesus? Are you someone that maybe up to this point has said, no, actually, I've got to reject that for now. That's not for me. Or you're of someone that receives this message as a gift. So first of all, I want to speak to those who are perhaps thinking about, that they're in their considering kind of phase. Maybe you're someone that is kind of that deep, cautious kind of thinker. I've probably historically been that kind of person. I want to look at all the sort of different elements and how is it all put together before I kind of step into something. People that know me well will probably go, yep, that's what he's like. Or are you kind of a bit more of like the off the cuff? You know, you just run into something and then bang into a wall and then go run somewhere else and bang into that wall. You know, just that's how you make your decisions. Well, Paul and Barnabas, they're given this passionate message to Jews and converts into Judaism in this synagogue, and they're kind of thinking, you know, we want to hear more about what you've got to say. They've invited them back the following week. We want to hear more this next Sabbath. Little sort of side note here, when I was in Bible college one time, people were asking the questions, how do you know if God has called you to preach and teach? And the lecturer kind of answered in this way, well, if you get invited to preach and teach and they invite you back the next time. There's a sense of the community will tell you whether there's a sense of God working through what you've got to say or you make sense. So that's one of the clues. It might not be the only thing because we don't just respond to what people are saying to us to fill our egos. But it's part of the picture, isn't it? And it's the same with the people of peace. When we share the message, then actually when people respond and say, yeah, can you tell me some more? They're leaning in. Pay attention to that. It might be just one extra question that they're asking. So they couldn't wait till next week, and they even, as Paul and Barnabas are leaving the synagogue, the people are walking alongside, asking them extra questions, and they said to continue in the grace of God is their encouragement to those people. Now that might kind of lean into the idea that some had already believed, but others were still kind of considering, is this for them? The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. I'm guessing that was quite a crowd. Are you curious yourself? Are you still considering the message today as you sit in your chair there? You know, there's been some stories over this past year or two at Mounties that people have come curious, not really knowing what the Bible's about, what Christianity is about. They've even walked off the street, they've come with friends, and they've leaned in. They want to discover more of this person of Jesus, and maybe that's your experience today. I want to say you are so welcome here. You can try things out, you can talk to people, you can just listen in, just watching on, what's going on, what is real, what's authentic. God wants to kind of awaken you to a new truth. And maybe you haven't fully grasped it yet, but keep persisting. And my encouragement is maybe read that Gospel of Luke, you know, beyond what we're studying here, Acts. Look at Luke, the other Gospels. Talk to people around you who have had an experience of what following Jesus is like. Talk to Min. She's a follower of Jesus. Great person to talk to. Or stick around into the second service today, where we have an opportunity to hear three people declaring that actually following Jesus is the right way to go when they get baptized today. Where we see their stories they share, where they go from anger to calm, fear to freedom. That's some of their story. Now, I can testify myself that you cannot find a person in history like Jesus. You want to search high and low, there was no one like him. And he said some things about himself and his purpose in the world that are not, if you take it seriously, they're not easily dismissed. Stay curious, lean into it, and hear these words from Jesus from Revelation 3. It says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." There's a promise for you to receive. Stay curious. The second response that we see in this time of Paul and Barnabas in this community that they're meeting with is rejection, unfortunately. You know, they've offered this gift of salvation, kind of a way of life on earth and beyond that's kind of going to change everything. This promise of this Messiah Jesus come to them. And unfortunately, as they shared the message, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy, this massive throng of people, and jealousy is their first reaction. And they began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Now, we're not really clear on which Jews they're talking about as we weave through this passage, whether it's the leaders or just individual people, but there's some opposition, and their heart response is jealousy. You know, they're getting an audience that they could never dream of. And, you know, Paul and Barnabas are becoming influencers in that city. So there's a couple of things here. There's a jealousy, but also there's a rejection of the message that they're sharing. From verse 46, it says, "Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, 'We had to speak the word of God to you first,'" that's the Jews, "'since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles.'" That's a really interesting way to respond to this kind of abrupt argument that's coming from the Jews. This idea that you have considered yourselves, that you do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. Now, we're obliged, they say, to share the word of God with the Jews first. You know, the anointed people of God, you know, well back into Abraham, Moses' time, this was spoken many times to these people with their ancestors. And we just want to give you another opportunity, take hold of this message. But you've rejected it. And it's funny how he puts that kind of response onto the people and says, "You don't even consider yourselves worthy of eternal life." It's like they've stepped away from the gift that's been presented to them. And they feel grieved for the people there. And you've counting yourselves out of this amazing prize. And do you realize what this is going to cost you? You see, rejection is not a neutral decision. Rejection of this message. You know, maybe today you sit listening and up till now, you've rejected that message. It has not come close to you, or you may remain unconvinced without any kind of curiosity welling up inside you. And maybe you think that's a neutral position. Someday someone will convince me and it'll be good, it'll be different. But to actively reject a message that you're aware of does not put you in a neutral position. Now, in the past, I've shared with friends and family in this way who have felt that it is a neutral position for them. I just want to keep living how I am, and the message of Jesus, I'm aware of it, but I push it over there. And I've had the opportunity to share with them some very challenging words, but compelling words from Jesus to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. I just want to read these for you and just kind of hold the weight of what he's saying here. In speaking to Nicodemus, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." There's that eternal life promise again. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." That's not his intention. "But to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But," and this is sobering, "whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." So put these ideas together. God does not come, bring his Son to condemn, but to save. But as we push that message away, we are saying, just like Paul said to the people, "You're actually counting myself out of eternal life. You're stepping away from the prize." It's not a neutral decision. Jesus goes on to say why we feel such a tension with this offer and why we wrestle with it. This is the verdict. "Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light." It's like this, stage lights are on me and I just don't want to be in them. "And will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light." They step into light. They welcome the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. God sees everything anyway, but darkness says, "I'm going to hide. I'm going to shield myself from that." It's impossible. God already sees. He invites you to step into the light. So if you're in that place of rejecting the message up to this point, I implore you, consider the implications of a non-neutral decision. Instead of reconsider stepping into the light, what is authentic before God. Paul and Barnabas, they experience this level of rejection, and you see them shaking the dust off their feet in one sense as a warning to that community for those that have chosen to reject the message. There have been people that are curious as well, but they were celebrating big time because it says they were full of joy and the Holy Spirit as they left the city, because many people had received that message. They'd taken hold of it. It says, they're commanded to actually say to the people, I'll skip. Paul and Barnabas had taken the baton. They'd run with it from these words, these prophetic words that were spoken many years ago in Isaiah. They're commanded to give this message out: "I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." This is prophesied of a servant who is coming, who is going to bring this message. It was spoken over Jesus at his birth by Simeon. He was going to be the one, the Messiah, bringing this message, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And now it's in the hands of the apostles. Because God said, it's too small a thing just to save the Israelites. That's the context of this Isaiah passage. We want to bring this message to all the people, to the ends of the earth. And so when the Gentiles heard this, that salvation attention being turned to them, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. You know, the disciples had found another people of peace. They were ready to welcome, ready to listen to their message. And for these Gentiles, it was their eternal life birthday. Their eternal life had begun that day when they received that message. You know, Luke, through this short account, is basically saying, you know, it's high stakes. Eternal life is at stake here. And just like those that are going to be baptized here at the 10:30 service, you know, Jesus has eclipsed all other comers as the way, truth, and life. That's what they believed that day. Nothing else came close. They were moving them from perhaps being in a place of hopelessness or they'd lost hope, but now their hopes were fulfilled. Maybe baptism is your step that you need to take, just like those we'll be doing a little bit later on. Obedience to the call of Jesus to kind of receive in that physical kind of way what is going on spiritually in you, to go down in those waters, to let go of control of your own life and receiving the heart that God has for you to live in a new way, live into that eternal life. Glad to talk to you after the service. And even that new app, Church Centre app, has an opportunity to kind of, you can click on a button and say, yep, oh, I'm interested in baptism, to express your interest for that. With the time I have left, I just want to zoom out a little bit from what I've been saying. The disciples had shared this message. They're witnessing fruit even amidst the challenge, those that are considering, those that rejected the message, those that received the gift. But the question remained, was the prophecy from Isaiah, repeated at Jesus' birth, really going to happen? Was this message going to come to the ends of the earth? You know, it's still the early days of the church. After Jesus' death and resurrection, but the signs were promising, despite unbelief of the Jewish community, Gentiles were starting to capture this idea that this is for them as well. This is not just a Jewish thing. The Jewish Jesus had come into this world as the perfect Messiah, the perfect representation of God. But what about this message carrying to the ends of the earth? Well, have a look around you. The fact that we're even here, 14,000 k's away from Antioch, is a pretty remarkable thing, isn't it? This message has rippled out year after year over the last 2,000 years, and yet the task is yet to be completed. As we've been seeing through Acts, keeping in step with the Spirit, trying to find people of peace, it's on repeat, and that's been continuing to this day. God's people looking for people of peace to share the message with. Different nations, different ethnicities, different people groups. But many have not had the opportunity to hear this good news of Jesus. A quick little graphic I'm going to put up on the screen for you. This is from the Joshua Project, to kind of look at stats around the world. And this is the 100 largest unreached people groups. And their definition of unreached is not more than 5% of Christian adherents. And they give some other sub-definitions to that. But basically, 2 billion people in all those little dots are represented. Nearly 25% of the population of the world sit in these unreached people groups. Many do not even have the good news, you know, the word of God in their hands, in their language, in a way that they can understand. You know, this week, Jonathan's been sharing with us, Kayla's encouraged us as well, there's this global week of prayer. There's this opportunity to actually pray into and see where God leads us individually and as a church into being a part of this ends of the earth commission that Jesus has given. So I want you to consider that their theme verse is these words from Malachi 1:11, which says, "My name will be great among the nations, says God, from where the sun rises to where it sets." Pretty much just saying, everywhere. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. So if you need encouragement to think about this better and have your heart kind of encouraged in this way, be here 6 p.m. tonight. Worship and pray together and see what God draws you into over this coming week. Let's keep being a church that actually keeps reorientating our lives, our time, our gifts, our prayer, our finances to this end, to the ends of the earth would this message be taken. Last few things before I finish. I get the privilege of leading and pastoring the young adults at Mounties here, and it's such a wonderful crew. Awesome to have Min and Kayla sharing with us this morning. And they're actually going to host a 12-hour all-night praise and worship party next Saturday. So, you know, that's going to be, I'm going to be there. It's going to be great. See if I can keep awake. And that's kind of a way of finishing off this week of prayer. But recently we took a young set of adults up to Geraldton, where I used to minister, and each time that we take these young adults on these stretch trips, it's stretching them a little bit beyond what they're normally used to. And I ask them this question before we go, have you done much travel? And some went, yeah, I've done. And their answers are often, 7 of the 9 people I've taken so far have basically been to 10 countries or more in their background. Now, I didn't get out of Australia until I was 35. So, you know, I'm just a country lad from my background, but it's pretty generationally unique, I would say. Often it's to do with their family backgrounds. Now, I don't know if they realize, but that's just not normal in this world, in one sense. But what an opportunity, what an amazing thing that God might be doing amongst them. The education they have, the often faith heritage that they carry. I wonder what will happen. Well, I'm very keen to find out. And over a week ago, we launched this discipleship year where we want to be encouraging our 18 to 30-year-olds to actually invest into a kind of an accelerated discipleship year. What this discipleship year is about, basically coming to a committed community that are meeting a couple of times a week and that growing this capacity to be disciples of Jesus who listen and know the voice of God in their life and can respond in obedience to Him, respond to His call in their lives. Because once you hear the voice of God, everything else starts to fall away or shape up. Or Kayla shared a story today of exactly that thing. He guides our steps. They'll learn to know, to recognize people of peace in their lives and how to express the good news to people around them. My wife Janelle and I, Janelle's been helping with this at the moment, and we've led a very similar year of this up in our previous church that we served. And it's so awesome to see time and time again how as people invest on this accelerated journey, how much change happens in their life. And their eyes just get lifted up to all the things that God's already put in their life and the things He's calling them into. So we're calling for those expressions of interest. You might want to tap someone on the shoulder and say, yeah, you should do this. We'd love to have a chat. So what's your response today? I talked about 3 different types of responses to Paul and Barnabas and what they said. Some were sort of still considering it. Some had rejected it. Some had received that gift. But also our responsibility and our involvement in taking the good news to the ends of the earth. There's many more gaps of people in the life of this world that need to be filled with the knowledge of God. We are so thankful that week after week we get to sit under that knowledge of who Jesus is. So many haven't. So I just want to just draw us into a time of prayer. And I just want you to consider and ask God, where is He taking you? What's your response to this message of Jesus? Maybe you've been considering it for a while, but you haven't quite taken that step to say, yes, I'll follow you, Jesus. Maybe today is the day. Maybe you felt, actually, I've been in a neutral position, but actually it's not. If I reject this message, I'm opting out of this opportunity for eternal life with my Creator. Is that what I really want? What's the alternative? And rather than that being something that's heavy, may we find that the light that shines into our hearts when we open ourselves up to God is so freeing and so true and authentic to who we really are. And for those that are followers of Jesus, I want you to ask God just right now, maybe there's a people group, maybe there's a person that He wants to give you an imagination of, or a word, or remind you of that person. Who can you go to with the message of Jesus and they'll be ready to receive? Maybe He's calling you to invest in a certain place, someone that's already ministering in places other than here. So we're just going to pause for a moment and ask God to just speak into that. He'll show you what your response should be. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word that touches on just the right spot in our life. That you bring things to our mind that we would have never thought of by ourselves. Lord, help us to walk in obedience to what you've said today. Bring people around us that can encourage us, that we can talk with, to thrash out what we believe you're saying to us. We thank you that you care so much that you would speak into our lives very uniquely and specifically. We pray these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.